Hi, I'm David, and in this fourth installment of my mini-podcast series, the astronomic backbone of the biblical Samson tale is revealed. To a child, the Samson story is one of amazement. Ripping apart a lion, single-handedly killing 1,000 people using only a jawbone as a weapon, then 3,000 more by pushing the pillars of a house apart? These are feats firing the imagination. And to find Samson's power comes from his hair, by a decree of God himself, it is a mighty convincing tale of our Creator's greatness. In those years, you may laugh at the fact that he was undone by a woman. Your teachers might use the story to emphasize that God works in mysterious ways and has a plan for everyone's life. Or maybe they will talk about the importance of being smart as well as strong. As you grow older, the idea of such a person judging the Israelites for 20 years may come to feel odd. Asking a priest, you might find that the Hebraic term translated as judge actually means someone God uses as an example, i.e., to lead people on a better path. Digging deeper, something quite odd appears. The name Samson means something like man of the sun or little sun. Delilah, the femme fatale, derives her name from the root Lila, which means night. The little son is betrayed by night. Scholars have commented on this weird fact, questioning why his name doesn't incorporate God's name in some manner, like most other biblical characters. For example, Ezekiel and Zechariah mean God strengthens and Yahweh has remembered, respectively. Taken at face value, this item indicates the story came from an age before the latter versions of God. Because of these issues and more, hundreds, if not thousands, of writings have been created about Samson. Just as a literal reading of the story is not backed up by any non-biblical source, none of those commentaries have been able to point to physical events directly correlating to Samson's adventures. My work changes that. There are 29 astronomic actions which mirror the biblical narrative. A forgotten reason behind the slow Israelite transition to monotheism is also revealed. Place yourself in the sandals of our ancient priests. They did not understand the world, but, like most people today, they were convinced a power or multiple powers were responsible for their life and the universe around them. When those early searchers first became aware of the 60-year Jupiter-Saturn conjunction cycle, they viewed it with a sense of awe. The sky god was revealing itself to them. That is why they gave 60 the title of being Anu, the god of heaven's number. As you can imagine, centuries passed, and the newer generations did not look upon things quite the same. For a while, they thought the planets were deities. But the question wouldn't go away. Were they really gods? What made the slowest ones come back together in 20-year intervals with a greater 60-year pattern? Eventually, these became such important questions that the inner core of the priesthood had to know the answers. After careful observations, they encoded what they witnessed and their hypotheses into the Samson story. Those answers helped change their society and are the basis of our own civilization. The clues which helped solve this riddle appeared in Hamlet's Mill, as well as Alden's writing, surrounded by a bunch of slag that took much time to skim off. Among the useful items, Samson was Mars, the Jawbone was the Hyades, Leo, the constellation, was the Lion, and 60 was extremely important to the story. In fact, another source, the Babylonian Talmud, records Simeon the Just from pre-200 BC, giving a span of 60 cubits wide for Samson's shoulders, emphasizing that number in relation to the biblical story. The reference also indicates that Samson's astronomic underpinning had not been immediately forgotten by the inner core of the Judaic priesthood. The reason for the emphasis is simple but profound. The Samson tale recorded celestial events occurring on the 60-year Jupiter-Saturn conjunctions, beginning in 1416 BC. Our archaeological record shows the people of Canaan, Israel, undergoing a transformation at that time. The Bible says the Hebrews came to Israel after 40 years of wandering in the desert, but the ruins and our newer genetic investigations make more sense when interpreted as internal strife destroying the Canaanite palaces, not external conquest, especially because the pottery of the Canaanites is similar to that of the Israelites. The upheaval occurred between about 2200 BC to 1250 BC. Back then, mathematical astronomy wasn't a dream and wouldn't exist until about 500 BC. Our ancestors could determine the shortest and longest days of the year to within a few days, as well as the times of equality, the beginning of spring and fall. They could also record transactions on a night-by-night basis in simple terms, such as, on the 1st of Nisanu, the hired man becomes visible. On the 20th of Nisanu, the crook becomes visible. This is from the Babylonian Mul-Apen tablets, dating to approximately 1000 BC. But to make sense of their observations, the priests only had one tool available, stories. And the Israelites crafted one of the most masterful tales ever told. The narrative starts with Samson's birth in Judges chapter 13. Scholars have concluded the authors wrote Judges 13 independently of Judges 14, 15, and 16 to set the scene, so to speak. No astronomical interactions occur in that chapter. The celestial tale begins in Judges chapter 14, in which Samson is said to have rent or ripped apart a lion. Cutting to the chase, in the website version of this podcast, there is a video created from the Stellarium Planetarium program portraying the planet Mars passing through Leo, the celestial lion, right after Jupiter and Saturn conjuncted in 1415 BC. In the terms of the priests, the lion was ripped apart right after the conjunction. As an aside, in 2012, archaeologists uncovered a seal which appears to show Samson fighting a lion. Interestingly, it was discovered in Beth Shemesh, a town whose name translates to House of the Sun, thereby tying into Samson's name and indicating the tale may have originated there. The seal dates to the 12th century BC, so between 1200 to 1100 BC, which testifies to the sticking power of the story in society back then, as well as the celestial beliefs at that time. After Samson rent the lion, the storytellers said he returned to see a woman and turned aside to see the lion's carcass. Bees and honey had appeared in the body of the beast, and he took some for himself and shared some with his parents upon meeting them. Again, the priests simply made up a story to explain what they witnessed. After 2 years, Mars returned to the lion, and this time retrograded, or moved backwards against its normal forward movement. It did this in Leo, and moved close to a cluster of stars that has been called the Beehive since antiquity. You can see this for yourself in the second video on the webpage. The observers imagined Mars Samson reaching out to get honey in response to the celestial motions. As another aside, Cancer, the crab constellation, which houses this beehive, appears to have been created about 50 years after this event, around 1350 BC, which helps explain its omission in this tale. Cancer is one of the dimmest of the zodiac constellations. Those are the major transactions of Judges 14. They are just two of the 11 astronomic events recorded in its 20 verses. Our ancestors constructed the next chapter in the same step-by-step manner as 14. The highlight of that installment was Samson killing 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. Again, straightforward. On the webpage, you will see Mars retrograding, or moving backward in the sky, near the jawbone of the Hyades, right after Jupiter and Saturn met in 1356 BC. The authors made the slaughter up to commemorate the importance of the events being documented, just as the lion was imaginatively rent or killed in the previous installment. Judges chapter 16 is a record of the priests focusing on the bigger question, whether the 60-year Jupiter-Saturn conjunction sequence illuminated anything meaningful about the celestial deities. Remember, prior to this, they thought the specks in the night sky could actually be gods wandering the heavens. But the cyclic nature of the planets made them question their hypothesis. As I indicated, those observers became aware of the 60-year Jupiter-Saturn cycle about 3200 BC. While the Canaanites did not directly descend from the Sumerians, they worshipped the same type of heavenly council, and everything shows a deep influence by their neighbors to the east. The Samson story testifies to the desire of at least a small core of the Canaanite Israelite priests to understand the planetary actions they witnessed in the night sky. Even though their thoughts were steeped in deity thinking, the cyclical nature of the nighttime specks made them propose what we would call a childish idea, that bindings of some sort, like dark hairs which couldn't be seen against the black of night, drew the planets through the skies. But such ideas had to be thought before our own, deeper comprehension could begin to take hold. The Samson story also testifies that the Bible is not the word of a perfect God, as my mother and other religious people often proclaim. Rather, it is a compilation of the most important stories of the Judaic people. Amazingly, this 3,000-year-old tale created to record planetary actions has remained within its pages, and shines a light upon thoughts that have otherwise been long forgotten. In my book, Laughing at the Devil, One Man's Religious Discoveries, all the celestial events recorded in the Samson narrative are revealed. Fresh insights into the origin of our seven-day week and other religious topics are also illuminated. I also share more of my story and my relationship with Mom, who has passed away. Our ancestors were trying to better understand the universe through their investigations in order to create a better world for themselves, by praising the deity that could reward them. I hope that by shining a fresh light on the astronomic underpinning of their work, we can go beyond the religious beliefs of today and create a better world for everyone. Perhaps one day no one will have to choose one parent over another in the name of God. Pick up a copy of my book and see for yourself if that dream can be realized. Until next time, thanks for listening.